Soy Miguel Cardona, husband of Marissa.
President Biden's nominee for Education Secretary introduced himself to the country today. Miguel Cardona's parents are from Puerto Rico. He recently served as Connecticut's Education Commissioner. He's also been a teacher and a principal. In his confirmation hearing, he spoke about the importance of reopening schools safely.
There is no substitute for a classroom experience for our students, being in front of their teacher. There is no substitute for that. So we have to do everything we can to safely reopen schools in a manner that gets the students back into their learning environment.
Laura Meckler is a national education reporter at the Washington Post. She's been looking at the issues that Cardona will face if he's confirmed. Laura, welcome.
Hi there.
Hey, so let's start with his record on school reopening. You and others at the Post have written about his full court press to get kids back into the classroom in Connecticut. Can you explain what he did there?
Sure. It was really interesting what happened in Connecticut, really in much of the country, especially in states that are run by Democrats or more liberal states in general. There was really a debate. Should we go back? Should we not? Districts vacillated. A lot of districts decided to begin the year with fully remote education. But in Connecticut, the governor and Cardona working together really pushed hard on districts to open. And the result was that it was really became a debate of sort of how to reopen schools rather than whether to reopen schools.
The choice to open a school really is a local decision, though, isn't it? So what can an education secretary do to get them back in person?
Well, I mean, he used a somewhat heavy hand. He said that if any district that did not fully reopen had to justify its decision to the State Department. Now, in the case of one district, New Haven, they decided not to reopen, and they did have to come before the department and justify their decision, and Cardona said that it was fine. So they weren't really able to stop them, but by sort of setting that as the bar and saying that our expectation as a state is that you will fully reopen, and then when a state would, a community, a district would say, well, we've decided to do hybrid, which is, you know, students in school for part of the week and learning from home from part of the week, in order to reduce the numbers of kids in the building at any one time. You know, when districts that decide to opt for that, they had to explain why they were doing that. So it's not so much that the state was ordering districts what to do, but by setting those expectations where they were, it put a lot of pressure on districts to essentially reopen or to explain why they were not.
And what kind of leverage would he have at the federal level to do that?
I mean, far less, truthfully. I mean, education, as you note, is these decisions are made locally, and by coming to Washington, he's even further away from school districts than ever. That said, there are things that the federal government can do to push the needle in that direction. One of the things that the Biden administration has promised is to give some clear guidance to schools about how to do it. There's been a lot of confusion about that. Just in terms of like exactly what is necessary. And we're expecting new guidance coming soon from the Department of Education and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So that's one thing. Of course, the White House is also pushing for new funding from Congress to pay for some of the expenses associated with reopening. We'll see if he gets that and how long it takes. But those are some of the levers that he can pull. And, you know, the other lever is just, you know, out there talking about it. I mean, it was interesting because we saw last summer when President Trump and then Education Secretary Betsy DeVos started pushing hard for schools to reopen. You know, Republican states responded. You know, the Republican governors in Texas and Florida mandated that all of their school districts go back full time, and they did. Hmm. So now that we have Democrats in Washington essentially saying something similar, albeit maybe getting there and perhaps through a slightly different route, still having a very similar message, we'll see if that has a similar kind of influence on people who are more inclined to listen to their views.
Well, let's take a moment to reflect on the former Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, because she was controversial. She was a big supporter of school choice, allowing families to use public money to pay for private or religious schools. She rolled back Obama-era guidance on affirmative action. How big of a shift do you think Cardona would be at the Biden administration's education department?
I mean, it's just going to be completely different. I mean, on most all of the touchpoint issues, the things that people really pay attention to, they just have a really different point of view. I mean, his big picture agenda beyond when we get past the issues raised by the pandemic, although this does relate to the pandemic, as he said today at his confirmation hearing, are issues of inequity in schools. And the fact that poor kids, students of color, are just not getting their needs met in the same way. I think that we're going to hear a lot from him on those issues. It's not really something we heard from Betsy DeVos. It was more from Betsy DeVos. The orientation was the public schools are failing, so therefore let's give parents choice to go to an alternative.
And just briefly, I see today that he supported the right of transgender girls to compete in girls' athletics.
He did. That was probably the most interesting thing that came out of the hearing today. Senator Rand Paul asked him about this initially and really spoke passionately about his view that transgender girls should not be allowed to compete. He referred to them as boys. And in fact, Cardona said, no, we're legally required to allow people to compete and that it's the right thing to do.
Laura Meckler at The Washington Post, thank you so much for your time.
Sure. Thanks for having me.